Good evening, everybody. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to be worshiping with you here in person on Ash Wednesday. And for all those of you joining us online, welcome too. Now is a great time to grab that Connect card. You were handed by one of the ushers. You can find it online up into some direction of me. And take a second, fill it out. Let us know you're here so we can connect with you. And if you've got any prayer requests, please put those on those cards and let us know how we can be praying with you and for you in the week ahead. Once worship's over, you can tear off those Connect cards, drop them in the boxes in the back. If you choose to give an offering tonight too, you can place that in the offering in the back as well, or you can give online in the Legacy app, a number of different ways to do that. This season, during our Wednesday night services, these offerings will be going to support a new ministry we have here called Single Moms Blessing Day. Coming up in May, we're going to be offering free oil changes, car maintenance, games for kids, and food for all single moms who need it. We're looking to probably serve between 50 to 60 moms in that one event. So if you're interested in any of that, you want to get plugged into that event coming up, Nita's email is on the back of your Connect card. Reach out to her to get plugged in. You're going to see some pictures now of a similar event that happens in Florida. This is why everything is so green, because you know, it's warmer. But that's where these pictures are from, so you get a sense of what this event will look like here on Saturday the 15th of May. Watch this. Looks to be an awesome event, and I just want the green grass back again. So, both very good things. Now, so this is Ash Wednesday, and a part of Ash Wednesday each year, it's our annual reminder that we are mortal. It's that time in the calendar of the church year that we remember at some point we all will die. That's why we say when we apply ashes to your forehead, we say, remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Now, this is a healthy reminder because many of us, we can just cruise through life, heads down, with blinders up, and we never think about it once at all during the year that at some point our lives will come to an end here on earth. We just do whatever we can. We plow through to get through this hour, this day, this week, this month, this year, and we never reflect on that fact at all at once that we're mortal, that we are dust, and to dust we will return. We are blissfully ignorant that we will die. Except for this last year. Every single day, all we got were reminders of our mortality. Ever-increasing infections, deaths, and stories of lives lost in the pandemic. Every single day, we are dust. We are reminded that we are human beings susceptible to diseases, becoming sick, and potentially dying. The constant charts of how many people are positive today, how many people died today, the amount of information you could consume about the pandemic was, and still is, unlimited. Everywhere we returned, nothing but constant reminders that we are mortal. And then on top of the pandemic, we saw racial divisions brought to light, some of us acutely aware of their existence, while others of us were playing catch-up. We have much work to do to understand each other, to grow empathy for one another, and to honor the image of God in every single one of us, regardless of our race. We saw our political process descend further from name-calling and demonizing to each other into a destructive mob. We have much work to do in our political process, our race relations, to love God, to love neighbor fully. Pandemic, race, politics, it seemed everywhere that we looked, we were reminded that we are mortal. We make mistakes. We sin. We need a redeemer. We need someone to bring us life. We need someone to show us the way. So tonight, we are not putting ashes on your forehead. We feel confident that you remember this year that you are dust, and to dust you will return. We're going to do something different. I think you're going to enjoy later in the service to honor this day. Now, this year, we're focusing the season of Lent on something else you might have heard us say on Ash Wednesday. We want you to repent and believe the gospel, to repent and believe the good news, to turn away from the ways that we don't love God fully or our neighbor fully, and surrender utterly and completely to Jesus as Lord in every single area of our lives. We realize, yes, we are mortal, we are dust, but we worship the God who takes us from death to life. That's what we want to focus on this Lent. So to that end, we're going to have some fun together. To that end, we're going to a diner as we move from death to life. A small town diner, it is a great place to meet interesting people, hear all the best stories. So we're inviting you over the next 6 weeks to pull up a chair with us, hang out in the booth in this book of Luke we're going to walk through together. We're going to look at the people that Jesus met, recount the stories he told. And the coffee we have here is always hot, and it's always free. Why don't you meet some of the staff of this diner? Watch this. Apparently, our diner is set in the late 90s, which, hey, that was a fun decade. That was a good time. So we are in the book of Luke this season. The first question you should ask yourself is, who is Luke? Luke is one of the four biographies in your Bible we've got about Jesus' life. Luke was an educated man. He was a cultured guy. He was one of the first real historians to write about Jesus. He was likely a friend of Paul's. Paul is the first century church planter, missionary. He wrote much of the New Testament, the second half of your Bible. Now, Luke was able to stand back. He was able to take a step back from all these incredible events that happened surrounding Jesus, and he talked to the people involved. He read other accounts and compared them, and he made his very own complete version. That's the book of Luke that you've got. He has this very thorough, well-researched, well-interviewed document on Jesus' life. He wanted to know the truth about Jesus, and wanted us to know the truth as well. Luke places Jesus not only in the heart of his Jewish world that he lived in, but also in the heart of the Roman Empire, into which the gospel of Jesus explodes and forever changes that empire. Luke starts his biography. He opens it up and he tells us this. He says, many people have tried to write accounts of all the extraordinary stuff that has happened, and they've circulated since the very first disciples. This is now Luke's account of what happened, carefully investigated from multiple sources, written to his friend, or maybe his patron who paid him to do this, or both. Could have been his friend and patron who funded his research, named Theophilus. Not baptized many babies with that name. One apparently is not coming around yet. Now, this is a well-investigated, supported biography. So what you know, you've gotten this book, it is true. It is worth building your life upon. On Wednesdays, we're going to spend time in the diner with the stories that Jesus told. He told incredibly memorable stories that teach people deep truths about God and about ourselves. Now, depending upon the translation of the Bible that you like, the stories could be called parables. Parables are works of short fiction. They're intricately constructed, they're complex in their intent. In some ways, Jesus tries to hide the truth that you're supposed to find in them. They don't reduce the truth to simple statements or formulas. You've got the book of Proverbs for that. Instead, they force you to take a look at things on a deep level, engage your imagination, to think and to think again. These stories are supposed to make you ask questions. They're supposed to pique your curiosity and to create intrigue. So up first, the first parable we're going to look at. And our story begins in Luke 8, starting in verse 4. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as been planted. When Jesus said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears should listen and understand." First thing he asked, "Okay, Jesus, what on earth are you talking about?" So we've got in this story a farmer with seed, and according to my limited gardening knowledge, doesn't seem to be gardening very well. He's scattering the seed for some kind of plants everywhere, 4 different places. This footpath, a well-worn walking path, a footpath, rocks, thorns, and good soil. I garden not at all, but I would guess if I had access to good soil, I'd just put all my seeds in the good soil, and away we go. So clearly, we're not really talking about literal seeds, actual soil. He's trying to get at something deeper. Many times, Jesus does not give us the exact meaning of the parable. Many times, we're left to figure it out on our own, to wrestle with it, to look at it from different angles, and try to figure out what on earth Jesus is getting at. Except, he throws us a bone in this one, because the disciples have all the same questions we do, and he tells us directly what the meaning of this parable is. You can jump down to verse 11 of chapter 8. Jesus said, "This is the meaning of this parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and they receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." So the farmer is God, and the seed is God's word. It is the good news of Jesus and the challenge to make him the Lord over every part of our lives. In this story, we are the dirt. Should be very uplifting for us. We are the dirt. Remember, we are dust, and to dust you will return. Now, depending upon the conditions of our souls, we could have one of these same responses when we're faced with the news of everything Jesus has done for us. Now, it fascinates me that all 4 of these types of soils, all of them have the potential to be good soils. You could pick the rocks out of the rocky stuff, make it good soil. You could remove the thorns, you can make that good soil. You could even take the time to break apart the footpath, work it, quite labor intensive. My father loved gardening, he still does, and one of my favorite things to do growing up, when he would let me, was use the rototiller after winter was over. Gas-powered rototiller, break that dirt apart, and away you go. So if you got a rototiller, break up the footpath, that could even be good soil. No soil is too far gone. All kinds of soils could have the seeds, God's word, growing in them. So friends, that means this good news can grow in all of us, no matter the condition of the soil in our souls tonight. If we feel like hard footpath, rocky thorns, all of us can have Jesus growing a flourishing life in us. So the question we all face tonight, what kind of dirt are you? What is the soil quality? What is the soil quality of your soul? You might feel like the footpath soil. Footpath folks have a hard time receiving the message. They hear the good news about Jesus, everything that Jesus has done for us and what Jesus shows us about God, but for one reason or another, they just cannot accept it. Perhaps they believe it is too far-fetched that a poor first century son of a carpenter is actually God in the flesh, who died and literally came back to life in bodily form. And let's be honest, That is a lot to swallow. We wouldn't believe it either, except for all of the evidence we read in Luke's gospel, in the Bible, all of the evidence in our own lives and in the lives of others. I think of family members who've had painful and traumatic life experiences that make it nearly impossible for them to believe that there is a good, loving, and forgiving God in the world. It is not impossible for footpath souls to follow Jesus, but there is much work to do. There are many questions to be answered, wrestled with, and rightly explored. Maybe you feel like rocky soil tonight. The rocky soil has been around ever since Jesus followed the earth. These are the people who say yes to following Jesus, maybe in a large gathering like a worship service, a concert, a retreat, a camp, but they don't make it a priority to keep going beyond that one event. They don't get plugged into a smaller group for training, for connection, so that passion, that fire for Jesus doesn't last. Without practices like prayer and worship and scripture reading, as individuals and together, that seed of Jesus is not going to keep growing in our lives. Maybe you feel like the thorny soil. If I could diagnose our time and our place where we live with a soil condition, this is the one. We have so many distractions and other priorities that crowd out the place where Jesus should be in the center of our lives. I mean, Netflix is dropping a new movie every single week. We have appointment TV to watch, Jesus. Do you not understand this? We have so many other commitments that we make. We try to be in worship. We try to serve. We try to make sure our kids and our teenagers get to Legacy Kids and students. But then everything else crowds in around it, and those things aren't priorities anymore. It gets crowded out, just like the thorns crowd out the good seed, the plants coming from that good seed. Last, you know, maybe tonight, maybe you feel like good soil. You're not perfect. There is still weeding to be done in your soul. There's still edging that needs to happen. But you feel like Jesus is the top priority in your life. And everything else circles around that commitment. You make time for prayer and study and scripture reading. You know, it might not be for as much or as long as you want, but you feel good. Like you're on the right direction. You're on the right path. You're moving in the right direction. Our challenge this Lent, our challenge for the next 6 weeks is for us to cultivate in ourselves to be good dirt. We are dust, and to dust we will return, but we want to cultivate the kind of dust. We want to cultivate the kind of dirt that we are. We want to challenge each other to be the kind of dirt that the good news of Jesus grows in and blossoms, the dirt that works for healing, the dirt that loves our neighbors even when we disagree, the dirt that brings resurrection and hope and new life through our words and actions and deeds in Jesus. Friends, that is the Lent that we want to have together. Lent is that season where people fast from certain unhealthy practices. And I want to encourage you, if you're feeling pulled in that direction this Lent, do that. Find one thing to fast from that might be keeping you from a closer connection to God. Maybe it's a food or a drink that dominates too much of your thinking. Maybe it's a toxic or unhealthy relationship that you just need to limit your time with that person or disconnect altogether. Make this Lent a season where you're going to fast from salt, from something, and that cultivates that good soil that we all want to be together. Lent is also the season where if you're not feeling called or pulled to fast from something, you can add a spiritual practice. You can add something to help you grow closer to Jesus, like prayer, scripture reading, or study. It can be as simple as, I'm going to be in worship every Sunday during Lent. I'm going to be in worship every Sunday and Wednesday during Lent, whether it's north, south, or online. That's going to be your Lenten commitment. And that's awesome. Do it. Maybe you're feeling pulled to do the scripture reading habit. And we've got a variety of ways for you to start reading the Bible. If you've never even done it before, we've got a plan for you. It's on our website, legacyumc.org/Bible. Doesn't matter if you've read the Bible for years or you never have, one of those three plans is going to help you get started. You can also get a few folks together and take our sermons deeper. You can grab one of the Go Furthers from our website, circle up, grab a couple of people, talk through the sermon together over coffee or snacks or whatever it is. If you're fasting from desserts, probably not that, but, you know, find something. We've also got a resource at the desk that we're using in sermon prep. and it's called Luke for Everyone. In this one book, the entire Gospel of Luke, the scripture, is included in this book, and there are little devotional thoughts on all of the passages. You can jump around and read the passages in Luke that we're going to study together, or you can read all of Luke if you want to. They are great little devotions that connect the scripture and make it come alive. They are $10 for you at the desk. You can grab one on the way out tonight. There are so many things. There are so many good things you can do to cultivate yourself to be good dirt that it can be overwhelming. All of this is great fertilizer for your soul. But just pick one thing. All I want you to do is pick one thing, and for the next 6 weeks, work at it and see what the quality of your soul will be after those 6 weeks. So instead of ashes tonight, we're picking up a tradition that comes out of Finland. So the Finnish people plant Lenten or Easter grass on Ash Wednesday. They would plant it in this narrow dish, and they cultivate it all throughout Lent. Children in particular really like this because the grass grows quickly, and by the time you get to Easter, you may even have to have cut the grass a few times because it would get so tall. Before too long, you've got all of this grass, and it is a tangible reminder that life is coming. Yes, we are mortal. Yes, we know we are dust. Yes, we know we're going to die. But we follow the God who is life. And Easter is coming. Springtime is coming. We are mortal, but we are a people moving from death to life. So tonight, after we close worship and you head out, everyone, every member of the family, if you like, is getting a little flower pot, some seeds, and soil to tend and care for the next 6 weeks. It's not a very large pot. But if you do tend this, you're going to have a flowering plant by the time we get to Easter. It's going to take you time to tend the soil, to give the seeds some water and some sunlight, but you will have a blooming plant by Easter. And that is what we hope for each one of us. That's what we hope for each one of us in our own lives. Lent is the season of reflection, of transformation. We do soul tending so that we are closer to Jesus by Easter than we are tonight. That's what we do. Yes, we are dust, we are dirt, but because of Jesus' resurrection, God wants to grow hope, life, and light in and through us. So friends, let's be good dirt together. Add or fast from one thing this Lent and tend to that plant so it blooms, just like we want each one of our souls to bloom in the good dirt of our souls. So now, I want to invite you to stand. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion, his last week, and resurrection. It became the custom of the church before Easter there should be a 40-day period, a season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith, those who said yes to Jesus, were prepared for baptism. It was also a time where a person who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by repentance and forgiveness. They were restored to the life of the church. In this way, all of us, the whole church, were reminded of the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus and the need we all have, every one of us, to renew our faith. So therefore, in the name of the church, I invite each one of you to observe a holy Lent by self-examination, by repentance, by prayer, fasting, self-denial, by reading and meditating on God's word. I want you to make a right beginning of repentance, and for all of us to make as a feature of our mortal nature. We are now going to bow before our creator and our redeemer. And as we bow together and join in prayer, we're going to confess the ways that we have missed the mark, that we have failed to love God fully and our neighbor fully. We'll confess our sins in silent prayer. May the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a single sinner, be that we turn from our wickedness and live. May God accept our repentance, forgive our sins, and restore all of us through the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen.